Hello and welcome to Recovery Radio. We're an outreach of the Latah Recovery Center here in beautiful Moscow, Idaho. I'm Johnny Kay. She's Denise. And our guest today
is Lisa.
Hello, hello.
Lisa, thank you for being here with us today.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to be here.
Yeah, this is great. So Lisa, I was hoping that you could share with our audience a little bit about yourself.
Okay, a little bit or a lot of it?
You could do either or
right,
in between.
So born and raised in Alaska, moved down here about 5-6 years ago, mm-hmm. Left a little while in between, moved to Montana, Washington. I have a son that lives here. That's what brought me back here. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have because mm-hmm. of the whole recovery thing. Yeah, so.
And so when you say the whole recovery thing, Can you just elaborate a little bit on?
All right, so after I moved here, I went through some, you know, custody battles, some mm-hmm. ups and downs. Trying to fight for my son and ended up, you know, not really being able to support him because of just, you know, how things turned out with his dad, kind of swiped him out from underneath me and everything kind of went downhill from there. I wasn't surrounded by, you know, all the greatest people and I kind of, instead of, you know, trying to help them up, I just kind of let them pull me down. Mm-hmm. Lost hope for a little while and was doing some pretty hard drugs for about 3 years, I want to say, altogether. Mm-hmm. Definitely the lowest point in my life. But, you know, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have the knowledge of it. And, you know, I have a lot of people that reach out to me and, you know, look to me for knowledge and support and stuff like that. So, yeah, if I wouldn't have endured all the gnarliness of addiction, then I wouldn't be as strong as I am today. I've definitely come a long ways just since I've been back here. I, you know, never would have seen myself working at an agricultural and car part shop with amazing people. They're so understanding. And ever since I've been back here, I've gotten the support group that I've been needing and wanting. And, you know, I get to call them family. So I'm about to, you know, get my own place and be able to have my son more. I mean, it's in the hopes anyways. It's what I'm working for. I got determination that's been carrying me through this and you know, God
Absolutely.
Has been by my side the entire time. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't be sitting here today.
Yeah. So for you, if you want to just share what you feel comfortable talking about with what your addiction was like, just kind of giving a picture of what that struggle looked like so that we can kind of see.
Oh man.
All that's changed in like the progress and how now recovery is.
Well, you know, it started with going out to the clubs and, you know, having a little bit of ecstasy here and there. And then, you know, it became addicting and mm-hmm. later on found out that it wasn't just ecstasy that I was getting. It was other people were mixing other things in there like methamphetamines. And pretty soon it got to the point where I was just chasing this high and, you know, wanted to be numb and I was depressed. I was not happy with where life was. So it was a constant battle. It, you know, I was not surrounded by the greatest of people. It was like, you know, anytime I was going through a hard time, they told me that I was all alone and that I had nobody there for me and I had to just, you know, buck up mm-hmm. and deal with life.
Were the people around you also using?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, and so kind of like when everyone's using, life just doesn't really feel so good for anybody.
Not at all. And it becomes a norm. Like, you mm-hmm. know, it's just a normal thing. And it's really not, you know, not being able to feel any expression or feelings or emotions or, you know, anything like that. And days go by and just like this blur, like, yeah, especially like if I'd just kind of said, you know, forget this and went all out and got really, really high, then, you know, it was like I couldn't think straight. I couldn't be myself. I was all over the place. I was a total mess. So going through that, it wasn't the greatest. I think what really brought me to wit's end was having my boyfriend pass away from, well, they said it was heroin or white china. I found him in the bathroom. I didn't know he had a past of epileptic seizures. I was clueless and we thought there was like nothing really wrong. Like I didn't know that he had that much drugs on him sort of deal. And mm-hmm. everybody else was freaking out around me. But, you know, thanks to my experience growing up in Alaska, when everybody starts to panic, I go into survival mode and I do everything that I can to, you know, be aware of the situation around me mm-hmm. to be able to fix it. I'm kind of a problem solver, but drugs did
in
not
crisis
solve any,
yeah, right, in a crisis the mommy mode pulls in.
Yes,
and the female
it does. Yeah, yeah, I had a lot of people around me call me mom for a while. It was, yeah, I mean, that was cool, but yeah, it wasn't too great. After he passed away, like, everything just went downhill. I had to get away for a while, and how my son's dad saw it is, you know, I was running away from my son and I was abandoning him. Mm-hmm. And that really hurt, you know. I wasn't in a very good place mentally, spiritually. Went over to Montana for a little while, and I was doing good. You know, mm-hmm. I met some people that were pretty awesome, saw a lot of potential in me. You know, they became like my family. But then after a while, I started to backslide again, met some more of the wrong mm-hmm. people, and let it take the best of me, and it was not good at all. And then last January, my dad passed away, and that really snapped me out of it. And it was weird. It was almost like I felt closer to him after he passed away than, you know, when he was around. And so I feel like if it wasn't for that and for my family actually reaching out to me, because, you know, the whole time that I was down here, I didn't have any family around. I was trying to make it on my own by myself, you mm-hmm. know, so. And that's not easy when you have, like, you know, a little boy.
Right. Well, it's not easy in general, even if you're not struggling with death and addiction and trying to climb out of that stuff.
Yeah, kidding. Yeah. I'm really proud of myself for not falling back into it after my dad passed away. But, you know, I was pretty lucky to be able to have my family. We lived on the reservation up in mm-hmm. LeConnor, like, probably not the greatest place to be. And, you know, that side of my family, they're hurting. They're struggling too. But that's, you know, that's life for them.
So you spent some time with your dad's family?
A little bit of time with my dad's mm-hmm. family, yeah, until my grandma, she wasn't doing too good about it, you know, a mother shouldn't lose their child sort of deal.
Sure.
And so I ended up going and staying with my mom's side of the family and all my aunts and my uncles and cousins and everything. And, you know, it was really cool for a while, but at the same time, I felt like I was becoming the glue that held them all together, and mm-hmm. I was just being tugged every which way and just sort of walked over and everything, and so I couldn't do it so much anymore. My mom, she works for CPS in Alaska, mm-hmm. and she had, you know, found out that my son was seeing a counselor and everything, and that, you know, he wasn't doing good in school. He became the bully. He was the one picking on other kids. He was unhappy. He was always angry. And when I found that out, I just immediately knew that I needed to come back down here. Well, I didn't want to, you know, with everything that I had been through before.
And when you say you didn't want to, what was it that you were worried about?
I was worried about falling back into what that norm was for me before, those 3 years of just backsliding and, you know, not being able to really make it anywhere. It was like I was running for miles in the same spot.
And that was because, partly because you used with people here in town?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, quite mm-hmm. a few of them. And, you know, I cut all of those people out of my life for the most part. I mean, there mm-hmm. were some people that I, you know, got really close to, and I still have heart for it. I love them a bunch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they're struggling, I still, you know, I hang out with them. I talk to them. I lift them up, sure. you know. And that's, you know, that's cool. But at the same time, I was really afraid of having anything bad happen again. And it was crazy. I was praying the entire way. It, you know, how I made it over here was my cousin's ex's mom, she was a part of some, it's like this gospel ministry or mission or mm-hmm. some sort of homeless place for families and moms and stuff. And she she drove me most of the way. I had to drive because she couldn't see. She was, you know, tired. It was night. Mm-hmm. And I made it over here with like maybe $50-$60 that my mm-hmm. cousin just gave me out of her pocket. And I'm pretty sure it was drug money. But at the same time, you know, mm-hmm. I was praying the whole time, God, just carry me over here. Mm-hmm. Like, if this is what you want for me, this is going to have to happen. Mm-hmm. And so he brought me that far. And then I was able to get on a bus. And I did have plans lined up for, you know, coming back down here. Like, I was going to stay with a guy and, you know, mm-hmm. thought life was going to be great. Well, he ended up not getting a hold of me and just kind of pushing me to the back. So as soon as I'm coming down here from Spokane, which isn't that long of a ride, like, you know, 2 hours is mm-hmm. not much time to figure out, you know, what you're going to do,
right,
what the
exactly.
next step is. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, yeah. I don't even know who my friends are down here. Like,
right.
you know, so I got a hold of some people that I've known for a long time, basically since I had left my son's dad. Mm-hmm. And they responded to me so quickly. They already had the single mom home going, which I had helped inspire them when I had first left my son's dad. Mm-hmm. They asked me what I saw myself doing like 5-10 years from, you know, that position I was in. And I was like, yeah, it would be really nice to work in a coffee shop. You know, I'd like to be a barista. Mm-hmm. I come back here. They give me a job. I had a warrant at the time. I took a warrant for a friend because I didn't want him to go to prison for 5 to 10 years. You know, he's got a lot of kids, and his youngest kid has my heart. She is my favorite. She's, you know, got spinal bifida, and she's just full of spunk and life. And
absolutely.
Oh, she's amazing. So I didn't want to let him go to prison, and I ended up having a warrant. And so that was another thing. Like, I was just so afraid of having to go to prison or go to jail, because that's not the life for me, you know?
Right.
Yeah, not the life for anybody.
Yeah, and it's not, it really isn't. But some people, it becomes a norm for them too, you know? So, but yeah, I had that, and they gave me a job. I was making pizza, you know, and getting to serve beer and stuff like that. That was a lot of fun. Amazing people. They let me stay at the single mom home, which it was totally crazy, you know, being in that spot and just like, wow, we talked about this like just 5 years ago, you know?
You're
and
just
here
like,
I am. Like, did we speak this into my life? That's kind of crazy. I got to be a barista. They got a really awesome machine. It was just kind of like dreams came true for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, ever since then, things started to work out really, really well until I met a guy and we all had to move out of the single mom home because the mother of the home decided she wanted her own space. You know, I don't blame her. It was kind of hectic, you know, living with a bunch of single moms and kids and people.
Yeah, there's so much transition going on in people's lives during that time.
And people coming out of, like, you know, going into recovery and stuff like that. Like, that's a big step for a lot of people.
It is.
So it was like she was pulling the mom card and didn't know from past experiences, you know, how to treat the next person sort of deal. But, you know, it's totally fine. It is what it is. And, so I moved out to Albion. I was stuck out there for a few months. That was another low point for me. But I feel like God had everything happen for a reason, you know, because I was struggling really, really hard, went through some really, really hard things with this individual. And I had people at church reach out to me just like, hey, we can, like, I see right through you. Like,
yeah.
Come.
We see what's going on, Lisa.
Yeah, right?
Just want to say,
an open book, like,
yeah.
Just
and we've
on
seen
my
this. Yeah, yeah. We've seen this before. It's not like you're the first one.
Right?
So
definitely. But yeah, they reached out to me and they gave me a safe place to be. And, you know, it was a family of seven, which is kind of crazy, but it was amazing. It was, you know, I love children so much. And that was another thing that, you know, really helps me, like, move forward is just the joy of children and being able to have fun with them and everything. And so, yeah, it's where I'm at right now. And, you know, I got recruited to be on the worship team, which I'm still a little bit nervous
that's
about.
That's going to be amazing.
Yeah,
that's
I hope it is. Like, I got some doubts, but we're our best critics.
Will you be singing or playing?
Probably singing. Yeah. It's I played bass guitar before in youth group when I was a kid. I was raised in church. My mom went to Calvary and my grandpa was a senior pastor at a Baptist church. And, you know, I decided if I'm going to be going to church so much, I'm going to decide which church I want to go to too. So I was like going to two churches every Sunday, like as a kid. And I decided to go to Assembly of God. And I was in fifth grade and they have like different groups. Like when you're a kid, you go to what they call power. Wait, no, it's like, oh, I can't remember. It was something funny. And then when you hit like middle school, high school, you have to be in sixth grade. It's called Powerhouse. And I was in fifth grade and I remember looking in the doors there and one of the leaders came up to me and she's like, you belong in here. I'm like, no, I'm in fifth grade. Like, you got me mistaken. And they called me out of hiding. Like, they called me into all of my potential and I got on the worship team and I was playing bass guitar and it was really awesome. Like, that was a really good time in my life for me until the leaders decided that we weren't that important. We didn't need them that much. And then they moved. And so when I came back down here, you know, with me praying the whole time and just reaching out to God, it was like, Lord, bring me back to that place where I was so on fire for you. And he has brought me there. Like, I'm finally there again. And so it was really crazy when I had those people walk up to me at church and, hey, we need to recruit you for the worship team. I just started bawling. I was like, it's happening. I've had dreams about this. So, I mean, I just got to get over my little nervous stage and
so,
just do it.
Yeah, like what I hear is that there were these really amazing times as you were growing up.
Yeah.
And we tend to really remember those amazing times. And then if you get that opportunity to do that again, it means so much more.
It seriously does. Like, I didn't realize how much I was taking for granted. Like, growing up and, you know, just loving life, especially living in Alaska. I mean, it's gorgeous up there. But, yeah, and I'm like a fish out of water here. But it's okay. I mean, everything's working out. It's totally awesome. Yeah, even through, like, death and so many low points, there's still so much sunshine in my life. And, you know, I can't let go of that. Like, I've got a purpose, you know, I've got potential, and I feel that, like, God shows me every day. Mm-hmm. It's pretty incredible, especially with the people that are in my life right now. It's, I don't feel like I'd be able to take any steps backwards with with right. some of the people that I know anymore. So.
Yeah, I think I can know some of those people, yeah, and probably right. not. And that's kind of the cool thing is that if at any moment, don't you feel like if you need to talk to somebody or if yeah. you need something, there's people there that are more than willing.
Well, not only that, but, you know, we've been talking at church how we go through this vicious cycle, and mm-hmm. a lot of us see it as like a shame cycle, but in all due reality, it's a redemption cycle. Mm-hmm. And there's those moments, those low moments for us that when we need somebody, even if we don't reach out, God puts that person, mm-hmm. just kind of scoots them in, like, okay, here you go. This is what you need, right? Kind of just reads my mind sort of deal. And that's something that's so amazing. Yeah, I'm so blessed with all of the people that I know right now. It's fantastic.
And it's amazing the people that we can become when we're not serving our addiction.
Seriously. Well, just within the last few months and everything like that, when my mom came here, she noticed it. And she went up to, you know, the lady that I live with now and just gave her this big old hug. Like, you have no idea how much you have helped Lisa change and grow into this beautiful, strong woman. And it, when she told me that, like, I started crying. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah, I, looking back, I've come such a long ways just since I've been here. And it's been a year now. Mm-hmm. And see, all together, I've been clean for 17 months now.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it's only getting better with each day. I see myself being happy again and enjoying life and wanting to do things. Like, before, it was like I just kind of sheltered myself and kept myself in my room and didn't really want to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, the people I was doing drugs with were like the only people I let close to me, and even then, that wasn't the greatest. Like, mm-hmm. I had all my stuff stolen from me at least three separate occasions. I mean, I was mm-hmm. I'm a very giving person, so I did give a lot of it away, but I felt like that opened up the door to me just losing everything. So it takes a lot to be able to climb back out of the very pits of hell. And
what do you feel like you've learned from that, where you lost everything and you had to start over at least once?
It's just material, really,
right?
You know, anything can be replaced. And it was crazy, a few times that I lost something and you know, I had like my favorite coat or my favorite shirt or whatever, it was weird because somebody else would come along with a bag full of clothes, like, hey, I got these clothes, do you want to go through them? And I would find those certain things, and it's like, okay, I'm still taken care of, you know, like, yeah. everything is literally replaceable. So, you know, I'm living off of bare minimal right now. Like, child support's garnishing the heck out of me. Like, it's kind of hard, but at the same time, like, I'm making it, you know, I'm pushing forward. And like, that's all that really matters, is I know it will come along when it needs to. I also know that I don't need very much to be able to make it in life. Mm-hmm. And that's totally cool too. When I was going through the drug phase, I felt like I was trying to prove a point that, like, you don't need money to make it in this world, because, well, I mean, first of all, a majority of the drugs that I got, they were free. I didn't have to pay for them. And that's the sad part. Mm-hmm. Like, you're chasing it, you don't even have to work for it. You just got to go and talk to mm-hmm. somebody, or, like, you know, just hang out with somebody that,
right.
And next thing you know, it's you.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I will say, I can think of one thing is in that people, when we're using them, I remember instances where I was like, well, I was just lonely, and I would ask someone to come over and, mm-hmm. and visit and just hang out. And, you know, girlfriends would come over and we'd hang out, and just because you are kind of isolated. And I know that I chose, you know, of course, to only be around certain people. Well, those were probably the only people that wanted to be around me anyways at that point. Yeah. You know, like,
sure.
I was slightly annoying.
Yeah, me too, I think.
I had my moments.
I was pretty emotional as well, so that's,
right.
It's nice coming out of that, too.
Yeah, you kind of tend to, we all kind of tend to cling to people that we... that understand what's going on, and at that time those were those things, so
exactly.
I get that.
And I also saw it as a time for me to be, you know, a girl and mm-hmm. you know, play dress up and do my makeup all the time.
Sure.
And I just felt like I was full of myself.
Yeah, I seem to remember that.
I just thought I was doing so great, but looking back, it was like, we don't see what's really going on. Like, other people would look at me and they would just, I could feel their sadness, you know what I mean? Like, they just looked at me like, oh, you're not doing good.
That's true. Yeah. You don't really see yourself necessarily clearly.
Yeah.
I've heard some stories where some people looked in the mirror and they saw it.
Yeah.
They saw what they looked like.
Right.
And then I remember, I don't think I did very clearly.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw it.
There was a few times, like, mm-hmm. when I was breaking down, like coming down really hard and stuff like that, and I was just a mess, and those were the times that I saw it. But then at the same time, it was like, no, I need to go get those drugs so that I feel better about myself.
Because, yeah, did you feel it more internally?
Yeah.
Like, that need was internally.
Definitely. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, it's weird how it latches to you. It's mm-hmm. it's really messed up, but I mean, I made it out, you know, and I never would have ever seen myself or even thought of myself being where I'm at right now. Like, even just last year, the year before, right. You know? And yeah, God's been working in some crazy, mysterious ways in my life. And yeah, I couldn't be more happy to just be feeling human again.
Yeah, it sounds like you found some of the open doors.
Yeah, I did. Well, I mean, you really got to close those darts like hard when you do close them. You get them out of your way so that all the other ones can open. And man, I didn't even realize, like, I always had this fear of death being right around the corner, you know, after losing my ex and everything. Sure. Like, I was always like full of anxiety and stress, and I was only doing it to myself, and I didn't really realize it. But, you know, looking back, it was just a fear of nothing, really. And I now, like, I don't know what it is, if it was just me, you know, asking God for it enough or what, but he brought that calm and that peace to me finally. And I don't feel like I have to look over my shoulder or constantly worry about, you know, somebody jacking me or, you know, anything like that, or, you know, some, like, a bus about to hit me, or, you know, just silly little things.
Feel safer.
Yeah, definitely feel so much safer. I'm more in control, and that's what it is too. You know, we have a choice in this lifetime. We get to choose what our outcome is going to be, and I took the reins back, you know. Mm-hmm. So this is my lifetime. I'm gonna conquer it. Move those mountains out of my way.
Yeah, and with a community of people that are able to walk alongside you for different kinds of things.
Yeah, and with that, I feel like you really need to be open and, like, open-minded, open-hearted, understanding, you know, and just honest. Mm-hmm. I've been ridiculously honest with my story. I mean, here I am, you know. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I didn't realize at first. I thought I was just being selfish, wanting to talk about myself. But I realized, you know, it's making quite a difference in a lot of people around me. And that's what I wanted ever since I was a kid. You know, most people wanted to go on a rocket ship to the moon or be a ballerina. And for me, it was always, I just want to make a difference in other people's lives. I had a teacher tell me once too, Lisa, you're not getting the point. I'm like, you're not getting life. Like, are you kidding me? Like, make a difference in other people's lives. Like, we're all here living on the same planet. Mm-hmm. You know, some of us are struggling and some of us know those struggles and know
Lisa's
how to get
humanitarian.
Through them. Humanitarian.
Humanitarian.
Is that some sort of religion? I'm not familiar with that term.
I'm not religious.
I will Google the definition if you like. She likes people. She's into the caring and concern of other people.
I'm such
people.
A mom.
Well,
I just know because I relate.
It's not an unfamiliar thing. In recovery, they talk about the HOW, honest, mm-hmm. which is an acronym for honesty, openness, and willingness, which mm-hmm. is what you just described. Mm-hmm. And the program I'm from, the program Alcoholics Anonymous, mm-hmm. We talk about, you know, in the 12th step, we talk about having had a spiritual awakening as a result of the previous mm-hmm. steps.
Yep.
That we try to carry this message to alcoholics that still suffer mm-hmm. and then practice these principles in all our affairs.
Yeah.
Quite obviously, I mean, that's exactly what you're doing. And you know, when people come into AA or early on, you know, they hear the G word and mm-hmm. they panic, right?
Yeah.
For a lot of different reasons.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, they've either had a bad experience with it, or it's just all voodoo. You know, right. You pray to an old man with a white beard that lives in the clouds. You know, that sounds like psychosis. but the reality of it is, you know, without, you know, having a connection to that higher power of some sort,
mm-hmm.
We're hardly capable of being as much as we can be.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, you talk about, you know, being on fire, you know, for God. And that's, the way I define that is, you know, you just have a very openness, you're mm-hmm. willing, and you're honest with yourself that, you know, if I just suit up and show up,
mm-hmm.
good things are going to happen.
Exactly.
And obviously,
even when you don't want to,
mostly when you don't want to.
Exactly.
When my phone rings at 12 o'clock at night and I've been asleep for 2 hours,
right.
And there's some, you know, guy poised on the edge with a bottle of tequila in front of him, you know, that is the last call I want to take at 12:30 in the morning, but I have to.
But that's the most.
And then later you're okay with it, you know.
But
still,
you reach an age like me where you like your sleep, right?
But it's what I have to do.
It is.
You know,
yeah.
It's like
we won't be okay without
you
it.
You want to drive a car, you got to put gas and oil and water
right.
in.
Exactly.
You know, that's just the way it is. And if I want to, you know, continue to maintain a sober life.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to be there when people reach out, and I have to make the effort to reach out
exactly.
as well.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not that hard for me to forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially at 2:30 in the morning when the phone rings. Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm gonna start just crank calling Johnny in the middle of the night, and I'm gonna be like, "So Johnny, I just want to say hello."
Were you sleeping?
I was just checking to make sure your phone was on in case any of your friends needed you.
He's
blocking me today.
I'll probably say something like, "I'm standing outside your window."
Yeah, right? I know where you sleep at night. But yeah.
So how's your daughter doing in school?
Oh, gosh. All right.
Okay, we just passed over a really creepy level there.
Yeah, we did.
My youngest is here today, and she's been sneaking around into my purse and getting candy she's not supposed to. So I just ratted you out on the air, but it's all good. We'll talk later.
But
she likes to get sick on Thursdays. I think she likes to come here.
I think she does.
But also with all of that being said, the crazy thing for me is I like even through all that drug, I haven't used drugs nearly as long as a lot of the people that I know,
you know,
and it's much harder for them. Like a lot of people think that, you know, addiction isn't a choice. Well, for me, I feel kind of like it is. I didn't, you know, I mean, everybody is different. I'm not saying it's the answer for everybody, but for me, I didn't really need to go like put myself in a rehab. I didn't go to classes. I actually didn't like going to them because people were talking about it all the time. And for me, it was like, I don't want to sit here and try to recover and talk about drugs constantly. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's just making me itch more and more.
Many different pathways into recovery.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
and then yours, yeah, is,
like,
is this is the one you're talking about.
Self-determination and self-love and care and just having faith. I feel like ultimately it doesn't matter what your higher power is. It's just a matter of having faith in yourself, like, you know, in your what you're doing and others around you and stuff like that. And next thing you know, you're just radiating positivity. So it's you know, it's cool.
Yeah. Right. Having faith in yourself, in as much as you have faith in the fact that, you know, I have an answer. I have a higher power that gives me direction. And my faith in myself is that I can follow that direction, you know, on a consistent basis, which is difficult. And yeah, you know, being addicted to a certain extent is a choice. I mean, I didn't drink my first beer and say, "Well, I'm an alcoholic."
Right.
You know, but there came a time where I did not have a choice in it because,
right.
you know, alcohol and drugs hijack your brain.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They
well, your body, they, just they, everything in general.
They literally rewire things. So it becomes more important than you know, life, death, it's all consuming.
Yeah.
But once you start to break that chemical dependency, then the hard part comes.
It's,
you know, once you see something, you can't unsee it. Once you experience sobriety after a tough time of addiction, you can't see it. You can't unsee the fact that once you go back there, you know, it's going to be a struggle to get out. You know there's an answer, which is why, you know, I've heard so many times in AA meetings when somebody new comes in, someone will offer up the sage advice of, well, I hope you hear something here tonight that messes up your drinking.
Yeah.
And typically it does.
Yeah.
I know in my case with the relapse I've had in during my sobriety, it's always been short-lived and miserable.
Yeah. Very
and
true.
And it's because once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
Like bunny rabbits on people's faces.
Aww,
like
that was a great picture.
That was some great pictures. We had fun.
Seriously.
Trying
we
to
can
be
make,
adults, but not, having fun at
right,
the Social
see,
Security office.
Yeah, nowadays we can go and try to get our Social Security cards. Well, I you know,
try
get our Social Security cards and have to drive all the way down to Lewiston and sit there for 45 minutes, which actually wasn't that bad.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
And Johnny had earlier said, could I pull a bunny out of a
rabbit out of
rabbit out of a hat, and
yeah.
so I
Snapchat filter.
I showed him that I could. Did you just get that? Oh, that's why I sent you the picture, goofball. Keep up. Johnny's getting senile.
Well, you know, they say when you take some of those hallucinogenic drugs, occasionally some of the psychoactive materials will, you know, stick in fat cells. And every once in a while, one of those melts off.
Oh, he's just old.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, and I'm old. I'm so old when I was
a kid. What do I have left? Like 15 years, and then I'm going to get senile?
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to have so much fun watching it while you're changing my diapers.
I feel like a kid now.
You are a kid. Lisa is in her 20s.
Yeah, there we go. Well, hey, kids, listen, while we yuck it up, why don't we play a little music for a couple of minutes and get a drink of water, and we'll come back to this fun-packed remaining of our hour, and we'll talk some more.
You're listening to KRFP in Moscow, Pullman Recovery Radio.
And you are listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP in beautiful Moscow, Idaho. I'm Johnny Kay. She's Denise. And I just want to, I mentioned earlier that we are an outreach of the Latah Recovery Center, which is has a wealth of information on things related to recovery, from the diseases of alcoholism and drug addiction, as well as just about everything else that you can think of. They are located at 531 South Main in Moscow, Idaho. It's the old Wheatberries, also right next door to One World Cafe. Their phone number is 208-883-1045. And their hours of operation are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturdays now 10 to 1. They're closed on Sundays. And they have, like I said, all kinds of services available. It's a program of peer recovery, which means if you're having a problem with drugs or alcohol or mental health conditions, there's a good chance you can walk right in and be able to talk to somebody who's been in your shoes and knows a little bit on how to deal with it. And I'm back in the studio here with Denise and Lisa.
Hello.
And
so Lisa,
I'm
cutting him off. So Lisa, I was hoping maybe you could share with us what you are hoping for the near future and the future.
Well, I'm pretty set up right now. Totally blessed by this job that I have. Like I said before, amazing people, amazing company. It's, you know, family owned for 90 years.
Wow.
We're helping farmers, you know, with their tractors and everything in between. Mm-hmm. And then we have the extra car parts too, unlike the other stores. Mm-hmm. But once I'm there for a year, I get 401k. Get health benefits, like paid vacation and sick leave. This is like
that's
my family.
Good, great.
My family kind of tore down on me pretty hard about how, you know, I'm not really making it anywhere. And, you know, I have an aunt that works for Alaska Airlines and they're trying to help me out, you know. Oh, you got to do this. Well, I haven't exactly finished schooling, didn't have that. So I plan on finishing schooling too. I've never had my license and I have a car waiting for me right now. I mean, it's not the greatest, but it's good for mm-hmm. first vehicle. That's a big step for me too. I had been in a few accidents and so I don't have passenger anxiety anymore. Like I'm growing in every which way. It's awesome. I'd like to be able to have my son more, at least 50%. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. You know, I came back here for him and
yeah, he needs
sticking
you.
To it. I am yeah. sticking to it. I can no longer curve that for boys or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's all coming together right now. It's, you know, I just signed papers on a townhouse. I'm hoping that that works out. I'll be living across the street from one of my best friends and yeah, I mean, after that, worship team, I already got, like, the greatest group of people behind me. I don't know. If it gets any greater than that, I'm going to be surprised.
Right? You're just like, I'm pretty happy with how things are now, so.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've come so incredibly far, and, yeah, everybody that I know, like, my family, my friends, you know, those that are doing good, and some that have been best friends for, like, 12 years plus, are so incredibly proud of me, and just hearing that alone, just hearing, like, being able to hear again, like, how important I am, like, as a person, and you know, how loved I am. Like that's helped so incredibly much. Yeah,
that's so important to anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, for the longest time, yeah. I felt like I was nothing to anybody, you mm-hmm. know, cause those friends I was hanging out with, like they kind of like just hammered it into my head. Like I'm sure. just another ant on this planet, you know, mm-hmm. sort of deal, like got to make it on my own and just keep on going. But yeah, I don't know. I'm making it as far as I've wanted to and pretty quick at that. Like I thought it was going to take a lot longer. I had to learn patience the hard way, but now, you know, it's all paying. So mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know. I haven't really thought too much about like sure. really deep into my future, but to be able to, you know, well, actually one thing, I'd like to be married eventually.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, for the longest time felt like, you know, there's nobody really out there that would, you know, be the perfect suit for me, but I mean, we'll see.
Well,
it's all in God's timing, really.
Right, and don't you think as you're focusing on yourself and getting your life together and who you are.
Well, you got to be happy with yourself first.
Right, that's going to bring to the table.
And it's not going to be easy. Like, once I'm able to have my son around more, like, he, I didn't even realize, you know, everything that I was going through, it was hurting him ultimately more in the end. Because we were two peas in a pod. We were, you know, he's my mini. I'm like one of the only people that has the understanding with him that, you know, can get through to him, and he listens. And that's pretty huge, because he doesn't listen very much right now. I mean, he's getting better at it. Like, he's doing a lot better in school. Like I said before, he went from being the bully to now he gets coffee in the mornings and brings it to each one of the teachers. Like, I made a pact with him when I first moved back. I mean, amongst being just in tears and just, you know, torn, I asked him to forgive me for all of that. And I told him that now that I'm back here, he's no longer able to be angry anymore, and I can't be sad anymore. And so that, I feel like that made a huge difference. And, you know, I haven't been very sad. You know, I'm out of that terrible relationship that I was in. Like, I'm making it so incredibly far on my own. And at first, I didn't think I'd be able to do it. Like, I had all these fears and, you know, anxiety, like, oh, I'm just not going to be able to make it. And then it was just kind of like God put his hand on my back and was like, I already have, like, great things planned for you, you know?
People and
everything. It's all coming together so, so awesomely.
I just feel like I need to interject. So there's this thing that can happen at any point in time in life. I feel like probably whether you're a person who struggled with drugs or alcohol or not, where you can look at a situation where something big happened and there's going to be a big change, and you can think, these are all the reasons why I can't. And sometimes you just need to say, well, you know, let's just take this step forward and just go with it. And then amazingly enough, things just start to turn out okay. Like, I mean, that, there can be some huge stepping
like that, just dress points, up and but, show up. Despite whether I want to or not. I wouldn't dare go back to drugs, that's for sure. I fought too hard to be able to make it, you know, this far.
Did you ever think when you were using that you wouldn't be able to stop, or that
future? A while I was so blindsided by it. I thought it was going to be my future. I thought it was going to be everything. I didn't want to get off drugs. I really didn't, until, you know, the absolute worst happened and I had to witness that, you know. It's not easy to get the image of, you know, somebody that you loved. He had just asked me to marry him like the day before, just on the floor, you know, swimming in his own fluids and everything. Like, just cold and gray, like he had been there for a while. So, I mean, sorry to put that image in your head, but
it's okay.
You know, it's not easy, but at the same time, that's kind of what's fueling me. And I know that if he was here today, you'd want me to be where I'm at. Same with my dad too, you know. I can just feel him just kind of smiling down on me. So you know, I don't see that as being anything a part of my future. You know, I've had people try and talk about it around me, and, you know, it's like instant unfriend. Like, you know, you can talk about your serious want to use and stuff like that over there, you know, keep it over there.
Right.
I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And if you don't want to help, like, you know, lift each other up, then I don't know how to help you.
I remember being super excited when people would walk into the treatment center that I participated in, and it was just like anything that had happened in the past in my mind was just all forgotten and gone. You know, if there was any issue in our friendship before that, and I was just so happy that they were there. You know what I mean? And it's just like, it's like, welcome to the other side. This is healthy.
Seriously.
Welcome to the other side. Let's see what we can do here. You know what I mean?
I have a few friends that are like that, and man, it was crazy. I actually went to my best friend's wedding the other day, and I cried like a baby. Oh my gosh. But I got to see her, you know, she's 19 weeks pregnant, doing amazing, and how far she's come. And it hurt for a little while because, you know, being where we went, you know, in the past and everything, I was kind of the bad influence in that sense. And she kind of held on to that. And so it was cool. I was able to steal her away for a moment and just be able to, you know, pray. And she said something like, you know, I want to get closer to God. I'm like, well, here's the starting point. I'm going to pray. Yeah. And we were able to get our, you know, I love yous and I forgive yous out of the way and everything. And that was really awesome. I also ran into other people, and it's like, it's cool to be able to stand there and talk about situations you were in before that were cruddy, like being left in a cemetery waiting for somebody to go get us drugs, like for 3 hours. Like, I don't know this guy sitting next to me.
The commitment that we have in that is insane.
Well, it was stupid. Well, we didn't really have a choice. We were in a different town, you know, and so we're like, okay, let's get to know each other. Like, how's it going, you know? Run into him again. He's got, you know, a fiance and a baby on the way. and we're able to look back on those moments and just laugh, like, and look at us now, like how far we have come. Mm-hmm. And like, you just become so incredibly overfilled with joy and happiness. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yeah, you know, keep going, we got this. Like, mm-hmm. it's a really powerful thing.
It really is.
Yeah.
A community of support is so incredibly important. Mm-hmm. In recovery. I mean, just having people around you that have been where you've been, and are on the road going where you're going.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. There's an odd thing there, because, you know, it's the same way it was when we were out there running and gunning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all had the same agenda.
Right.
And we, to a certain extent, all cared for each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like saying, you know, drugs were free a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know I made a point of spending time around people that, you know, drank a lot. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I, you know, it's not like I didn't have my love affair with marijuana and,
right.
you know, everything else that you could shoot, snort,
right.
shove yep. up,
everything.
Whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
well, we all go through our curiosity and everything like that. You know, somebody else is doing it. Oh, I mean, I might as well try it if they're doing it. But at the same time, I feel like that whole, I mean, along the lines of what you were saying, we like who we surround ourselves by definitely determines like the path and the outcome of what's going to be happening in our situations. Mm-hmm. And so having, you know, that support and love like behind you when you're trying to get away from, you know, such wicked things, like it helps in such amazing ways.
And people are watching. They're yeah. watching
oh,
us.
Definitely.
Or people are watching you, right?
Well,
John?
There's
people
accountability.
Are watching you, Lisa.
Yeah, definitely.
People hear about how it's going.
Yeah.
They
and,
do.
And
yeah.
just
people like to talk.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not really out to get
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But it's I liken it to a herd of sheep.
Yeah.
You know, when there's danger around a herd of sheep, they group together.
Mm-hmm.
And the closer you are to the center of the herd, the safer
yeah.
you are.
Mm-hmm.
So,
true.
You know, when you get into...
And more power to those people that are like...
On the
totally
outside,
okay
holding
with
you
being
in.
On the outside, like
because they're strong enough.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes they're stronger. Sometimes they get picked off too. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, true.
But you know, making the effort to be there, you know, and mm-hmm. and be in the center, be so involved
yeah.
In your recovery, which means being involved in other people's recovery.
Mm-hmm.
That's
we
that's,
gotta help
that's
lift
the
each
key.
Other up.
That's right.
Empower each other, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's all I got. Go on.
Well, I was just going to say that it's Craig, right? That's going to be in.
Craig, yeah.
Yeah, we'll Craig's going to be in next, so I was going to go ahead and probably wrap it up if that's okay.
Because
usually,
I don't see why not.
Usually we're kind of in his way. So.
Right? Well, that's my story.
So that's just for sticking to it.
Right?
I am definitely sticking
Elisa,
to it. You
thank
can
you.
Bet on it.
Thank you so much for joining us
yeah,
today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was wonderful.
Yeah, very cool. And Johnny, you too, for faithfully always showing up and helping me out with the computers and the control board and the questions and the... You know,
yeah, pointless comments.
No,
threatening each other live on the radio,
right? Watching my daughter steal candy out of my purse, as she knows I can't do much about it.
Well, sometimes the apple doesn't fall
See,
far
if
from
I
the
could
tree.
Just shoot, yeah, whatever. if I could true. Just shoot a look that was just good enough, she'd probably know better. But she's walking around with the headphones on, and she's just like, whatever, I can't hear you.
Oh God, can't hear
it's her tummy ache later
right.
then, you know?
It's like they say, if I don't remember, it didn't happen,
exactly.
right?
out of sight, out of mind.
And that's right. Fantastic. Well, thanks again, Denise and Lisa. Pleasure yeah. meeting you and talking with you and,
you
and
well,
hearing
you.
Your story and, you know, putting out that the fact that, you know, there's life on the other side.
There's
you know?
So much more life.
It's a little scary. It's a little scary getting there,
but greatness is on the other side of fear.
And that's right. Absolutely. And that's about it for Recovery Radio for today. Thanks for listening, y'all. You're listening to KRFP in beautiful Moscow, Idaho.
Was in another lifetime, one of toil and blood, when blackness was a virtue, the road was full of mud. I came in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. And if I pass this way again, you can rest assured I'll always do my best for her on that I give my word. In a world of steel at death and men who are fighting to be warm, come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm. Not a word was spoke between us, there was little risk involved. Everything up to that point had been left unresolved. Try imagining a place where it's always safe and warm. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm. I was burned out from exhaustion, buried in the hail, poisoned in the bushes and blown out on the trail. Hunted like a crocodile, ravaged in the corn. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm. Suddenly I turned around and she was standing there, with silver bracelets on her wrists and flowers in her hair. She walked up to me so gracefully and took my crown of thorns. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Now there's a wall between us, something that's been lost. I took too much for granted, I got my signals crossed. Just pretend till it all began on a non-eventful morn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.